ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ, ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶಿವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಚಂಬು, ಯು ಆರ್ ದೇರ್?
Hi, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so now I recollect, I think it is mentioned that you know, the Bali Maharaj's troops, they come to Indra's planet, and it is mentioned that they stay in the periphery only, and I think outside that place only the war takes place, I think, if my memory is right. So the demons are not able to enter because impious, greedy, lusty, such people cannot enter. So probably it is a comparison between the demigods and the demons. So it's a comparative presentation in that sense.
Actually, he is so brilliant and effulgent, Bali Maharaj, that they run away. Miss Brahaspati says to them that better you not fight. So
correct. But is it mentioned that the demons enter that heaven, or is it mentioned that they stay at the periphery of heaven to fight?
As far as you recollect, that Bali Maharaj comes directly, and then everybody runs, these demigods run, and he goes and sits on the throne.
Okay, okay.
As far as I know.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so we will start today's discussion. So we have been discussing from the sixth canto, fourth chapter, Hamsa Guhya prayers, and in that we have actually been discussing Hamsa Guhya prayers the last few days. So now today we will start with the last of those prayers before the storyline proceeds further. Okay, we will continue. Yah prakritair jnana patair jananam yatashayam deha gato vibhati yatanila parthivam ashrito gunam sa ishvaro me kurutam manoratam. So it is mentioned that Lord Ishwaraha yaha dehagataha, that Lord who entering the bodies, prakritair jnanapataihi jananam, of persons following an immature path of knowledge, yata ashayam vibhati means he appears to be a jiva according to the nature of their hearts. So ashaya means hearts, yata ashaya means according to the nature of their hearts, vibhati means he manifests. So depending on the faith of that particular practitioner, the Supreme Lord appears to some people as a jiva, to some people as a person possessing material body, to some people he appears to be just like a superhuman person, to some people he appears just like a person who bestows, whose only job is to bestow the results of their karma, like that. So that is the meaning of yata ashayam vibhati. According to their faith within the heart, the Supreme Lord manifests accordingly, like that. Yata anilaha parthivam gunam ashritaha, just as when air passes through a fragrant flower garden, the air smells fragrant, and when it passes through a filthy place, it smells very unpleasant. So, but the air itself is neither pleasant smelling or unpleasantly smelling, but it just carries that that fragrance of that atmosphere. Similarly, the Supreme Lord also, when he depending on the nature of faith of different kinds of practitioners, he manifests in different ways. So may that Supreme Lord kurutam me manoratam, may that Supreme Lord who manifests in different ways according to the faith of the practitioner, may that Supreme Lord fulfill my desires. Like that he is offering, Daksha is offering the last prayer here to the Supreme Lord here. Okay, so let's see what Srila Vishnu Acharya Thakur has to say. It is understood that there is a great difference between the Lord and the Jiva. The Lord has all knowledge and the Jiva has little knowledge. This is expressed in verses 24 and 25. Actually, in this purport, he is actually summarizing. Srila Vishnu Acharya Thakur is summarizing, you know, what has been presented in the prayers. He says, the Lord has all knowledge and the Jiva has little knowledge. This is expressed in verses 24 and 25. It has also been shown in verses 26 and 27 that the one Lord has a personal and impersonal form which can be realized as such according to one's preference. This also we saw. So some people see him as a person, those who have the kind of Sukriti, and those who lack the personal feature. This was presented in 26 and 27. It has also been stated in verse 28 to 30 that though the material forms are also the Lord, they do not arise from his Swarupa. This was presented. Like the universal form is also mentioned to be a form of the Lord, but it is not it does not arise from his Swarupa. It has been shown in verses 31 and 32 that the statements of Bhakti and Jnana scriptures are not contradictory. Even though the Jnana scriptures talk in terms of Brahman and the Bhakti scriptures talk in terms of personality, but nevertheless there is no contradiction, and the higher practitioners can actually resolve the contradiction, not the lower practitioners. He then prays for the fulfillment of his desire. That is what is the 34th verse. Of course, the 33rd verse also probably he mentioned, may that Supreme Lord be pleased with me. The Lord enters the body of a person through the path of immature jnana, either gross or elevated, overcoming his own nature, appears to be a jiva. Just as air taking up earthly particles with particles either foul or fine, or taking up fragrance, appears to have various fragrances, but in reality it is not.
Probably here the Lord appears to be a jiva means exactly?
Atma hi paramatma. So they may think that the, or it could mean two things. One is the Atma is same as Paramatma, or it could also mean that the Lord, when he accepts a body like Lord, like Rama or Krishna, they think that, oh, he is also any other ordinary living entity. That could mean that also. One of the two, it's not very clear.
Okay.
You have any other thoughts?
No, so he's like, means the Lord is appearing to be a jiva, that is for Mayavadis, no?
Yeah, for those with incomplete or incorrect faith, they see.
Or is it like the Lord appears to be a jiva means he reciprocates according to the desires of various worshippers?
No, he appears like a jiva means for those with improper understanding, he appears just like an ordinary jiva. Or it could also mean that they may mistake, some other practitioners may mistake the Jiva to be, or the Paramatma to be the same as Jivatma, like that. I mean, one of the two. I mean, that's what I think. That's what, from whatever is explained here. But basically, the point is, I think it is not even just... you know, he appears to be a jiva is I think is not the emphasis of the verse. the emphasis of the verse is the analogy that is given, which is just like when air passes through different kinds of fragrances, it seems like it has accepted that fragrance. So this is a foul smelling air or fragrant smelling air, but the air has neither foul smell or fragrant smell. So which means people are mistaken about the nature of air. So similarly, the essence is that people with improper faiths, they have misunderstanding about the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the essence. I think, you know, he appears to be a jiva is not exactly, in my opinion, the focus of this verse. The focus of the verse is misunderstanding about the real nature of the absolute truth. That is the focus. That's what I think.
Okay, coach.
Anything else before we move on? Anything from yesterday's discussion? Anything left over? If you want to discuss something?
No problem.
Okay, so you can read the purport.
Purport. The impersonalists imagine the various demigods to be forms of the Lord. For example, the Mayavadis worship the five demigods Panchopasana. They do not
This is one angle that Prabhupada is presenting here. Misunderstanding demigods who are actually jivatmas to be the Supreme Lord. So which means he appears to be like a jiva, which means they are seeing a jiva and thinking he is Supreme Lord. Indra is Lord, Surya is Lord, like that.
They do not actually believe in the form of the Lord, but for the sake of worship, they imagine some form to be God. Generally, they imagine a form of Vishnu, a form of Shiva, a form of Ganesha, the sun god and Durga. This is called Panchopasana. Daksha, however, wanted to worship not an imaginary form, but the supreme form of Lord Krishna. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and an ordinary living being. As pointed out in a previous verse, Sarvam Puman Veda Gunam Sthitadnyo Naveda Sarva Dnyam Ananta Mide. The omnipotent Supreme Lord knows everything, but the living being does not actually know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I know everything, but no one knows me. This is the difference between the Supreme Lord and an ordinary living being. Okay. In a prayer in Srimad Bhagavatam, Queen Kunti says, my dear Lord, you exist inside and outside, yet no one can see you.
Which verse?
But no one can see you for that. Maya Javanikasanam. The soul cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by speculative knowledge or by imagination. One must therefore know the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the grace of Supreme Personality of Godhead. He reveals himself, but he cannot be understood by speculation. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.29, Athapite deva padambujadvaya prasadaleshanugrihita evahi janaditatvam bhagavan mahim no anachanya ekopichiram vichinvan. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. This is the verdict of the Shastra. An ordinary man may be a great philosopher and may speculate upon what the absolute truth is, what his form is, and where he is existing. But he cannot understand these truths. Sevan mukhe hi jivadu svayam eva spurattidah. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead only through devotional service. This is also explained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself in Bhagavad Gita 18.55. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service. Unintelligent persons want to imagine or concoct a form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but devotees want to worship the actual personality of Godhead. Therefore, Daksha prays, one may think of you as personal, impersonal, or imaginary, but I wish to pray to your Lordship that you fulfill my desires to see you as you actually are.
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that this verse is especially meant for the impersonalist who thinks that he himself is the supreme because there is no difference between living entity and God.
See, this point also Prabhupada makes here.
The Mayavadi philosopher thinks that there is only one supreme truth and that he is also that supreme truth. Actually, this is not knowledge but foolishness. And this verse is especially meant for such fools whose knowledge has been stolen by illusion. Maya aparita jnana. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that such persons, jnani manina, think themselves very advanced, but actually they are unintelligent. In this regard to this verse, Srila Madhvacharya says, Svadehastam harim rahur adama jivam evatu madhyamas chapi anirnitam jivad bhinnam janardhanam. There are three classes of men, the lowest, adhama, those in the middle, madhyama, and the best, uttama. The lowest, adhama, think that there is no difference between God and the living entity, except that the living entity is under designations, whereas absolute truth has no designations. In their opinion, as soon as the designations of the material body are dissolved, the jiva, the living entity, will mix with the supreme. They gave the argument of ghatakash, patakash, in which the body is compared to pot with the sky within and the sky without. When the pot breaks, the sky inside becomes one with the sky outside. And so the impersonalists say that the living being becomes one with the supreme. This is their argument. But Srila Madhvacharya says that such an argument is put forward by the lowest class of men. Another class of men cannot ascertain what the actual form of supreme is, but they agree that there is a supreme who controls the activities of the ordinary living being. Such philosophers are accepted as mediocre. The best, however, are those who understand the Supreme Lord, Sachid Ananda Vigraha. Purna Nandadi Gunakam Sarvak Jivam Vilakshanam. His form is completely spiritual, full of bliss, and completely distinct from that of the conditioned soul or any other living entity. Uttamastu Harim Prahus Taratam Mena Teshucha. Such philosophers are the best because they know that the Supreme Personality of God reveals himself differently to worshippers in various modes of material nature. They know that there are 33 million demigods just to convince the conditioned soul that there is a supreme power and to induce him to agree to worship one of these demigods so that by the association of devotees, he may be able to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. As Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Matkap Paradaram Nanyat Kinjit Asti Dhananjaya, there is no truth superior to me. Aham Adirhi Devanam, I am the origin of all the demigods. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavaha, I am superior to everyone, even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and other demigods. These are the conclusion of the Shastra and one who accepts these conclusions should be considered a first class philosopher. Such a philosopher knows that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Lord of the demigods. Deva Deveshwaram Sutram Anandam Prana Vedina. Done, Prabhu.
Done? Yeah. So basically, if you see, that's the emphasis. You know, he has discussed various kinds of misconceptions. So the essence of this verse is that depending on the faith of the person, different kinds of misconceptions about the absolute truth exist. But as Prabhupada says, Daksha here wants to surrender to the personal form of the Lord. Like what he says, he prays for the fulfillment of his desire, like that. Yeah, any points before we move on?
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Bol. Yeah.
Yes, Prabhu.
This in the third part, Prabhupada is telling about this number. I am always confused about the demigods, 30 million, and the demigods is 30 crores.
Prabhu, your signal is poor. I think we are not able to hear you properly. At least I am not able to hear you.
This number, that number of the demigods, Prabhupada is writing there 33 million. Generally, what we say is 33 crores. So, wanted to know what is the exact number two we quote generally.
33 crore only.
Pardon?
33 crore only.
Okay. So
that's my understanding, because it's there in the scriptures also, you know, that the number 33 crore is there actually.
Okay, it's there, reference.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, anything else?
No problem.
Huh?
No problem.
Okay, so this brings us to the end of prayers offered by Daksha, the Hamsa Guhya prayers. Now, the Lord has not yet appeared, but Daksha has been chanting these prayers to please the Lord. The Lord actually becomes pleased, and then he is going to appear now. That's what we are going to see. Okay, the next is a you know, 5 verses together. Let me just, okay. I will chant 35 to 39, we can chant together. Shri Shuka Vacha Iti Stutas Samstuvataha Satasmin Agamarshane Pradurasit Kurut Sreshta Bhagavan Bhaktavatsalaha Kritapadasu Paranamse Pralambashtamaha Bujaha Chakrashankasi Charmeshu Dhanupasha Gadadaraha Pitavasaga Nashyamaha Prasanna Vadanekshanaha Vanamala Nivitango Lasat Shrivatsa Kaustubaha Mahakirita Katakaha Spuran Makarakundalaha Kanchanguliya Valaya Nupurangada Bhushitaha Trailokya Mohanam Rupam Bibratribhuvaneshwaraha Ruto Naratanandadyaihi Parshadair Surayutapaihi Stuyamano no Gayadvihi Siddha Gandharva Charanaihi. Okay. So here Shivadeva Goswami is continuing the story. So he says that, O Maharaj Parikshit, the Supreme Lord, affectionate to his devotees on being praised by Daksha, appeared at the holy place known as Aghamarshana. The Lord's lotus feet rested on the shoulders of Garuda, and he appeared with 8 long powerful arms. In his hands he held a disc, conch shell, sword, shield, arrow, bow, rope and club. His garments were yellow and his bodily hue deep bluish. His eyes and face were very cheerful. His body was covered with a garland of flowers, and his chest was decorated with the shining Kaustubha jewel and the mark of Srivatsa. On his head was a huge crown. On his feet were anklets, and on his ears were shining earrings resembling makaras. The Lord wore a golden belt on his waist, bracelets on his arms, rings on his fingers, and ankle bells on his feet. Having a form attractive to the three worlds, the Lord of the three worlds was accompanied by great devotees like Narada, Nanda, and groups of devatas. He was praised by Siddhas, Gandharvas, and Charanas. No purport. No commentary. Is there a purport?
No, Prabhuji. No purport.
No purport. Series of verses describing the form of the Lord that appeared in front of Daksha. He had 8 arms. Yeah. There is as far as I can recollect, there is one Divyadesham in which the form of the Lord has 8 arms actually. Okay. But I don't know if that was the form which gave darshan to Daksha. But definitely I remember that the Lord has 8 arms in that particular Divyadesham. But I'm not very sure if it's the same form of the Lord. Maybe it could be a different form also. Okay. Rupam tanmahadascharyam vichakshagata sadvasah nanamadandavat bhumau prahrishtatma prajapatihi. Vichakshatad mahadascharyam rupam, seeing that amazing form, Prajapati, Prajapati Daksha, Agata Sadvasaha. He became overcome with fear. Prahishtatma, but he was very pleased actually. Dandavat Bhumau. He offered Dandavat Pranam, Nanama. In order to offer his respects, he fell like a stick to offer his respects. He was fearful at the same time, he was very happy. No commentary, is there a purport?
No, Prabhuji, why he is afraid after seeing the Lord?
Because it was the form was astonishing. Because it's 8 arms, right? So, it was probably.
Okay.
I'm just guessing. It's not mentioned clearly. Na kinchano diryayit. Okay. Na kinchano diryayitum ashakat ashakat tivrayamuda apuritamano dvare hradinya iva nirjharaihi. Manahadvaraihi. Manahadvaraihi. So the senses are called as manodvara. You know, the gates to the mind. Okay. Through the senses, you can access the mind. When the senses come in touch with the sense object, immediately the mind becomes active because the senses only provide the food for mind's thought. So manodvara, they are called as manodvara. Because his senses apurita were filled tivrayamuda with intense bliss. Hradinya iva nirjharaihi, like waterfalls filling up rivers. Oh, so the senses are compared to the waterfalls and the mind is compared to the river. Just like the waterfalls fill the river with water, similarly, his mind was filled by bliss through the senses which were experiencing the various aspects of the Supreme Lord. Eyes experiencing the form of the Lord, nose experiencing the fragrance emanating from the Lord's body, ears hearing his voice and you know, the movement of his garments and ornaments like that. So the senses are compared to the waterfalls and the mind is compared to the river like that. So therefore, because he was overcome with such intense bliss, na kinchana udirayitum ashakat, he could not speak even a single word because he was so overwhelmed by the bliss of taking, experiencing the presence of the Supreme Lord through his various senses, which were filling his mind with intense bliss like that. Shila Vishwanathacharya Thakur mentions, just as rivers are filled by waterfalls, his senses were filled with intense bliss. Because of that bliss, he could not speak, see or hear. Like that. Any other episode where similar experience is mentioned? Can you recall? Yeah, Dhruva Maharaj. Similar description. Is mentioned. Okay, is there a purport?
Yes, small.
Yeah.
When one actually realizes or sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is filled with complete happiness. Oh, here, for example, when Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord in his presence, he said, my dear Lord, I have nothing to ask from you. Now I am completely satisfied. Similarly, when Prajapati Daksha saw the Supreme Lord in his presence, he simply fell flat, unable to speak or ask him for anything.
Yeah. Okay. Tam tata vana tam baktam praja kamam prajapatim chittagnya sarva bhutanam idam aha janardanaha. Janardanaha, Supreme Lord. Sarva bhutanam chittagnya, who knows the heart of all living beings, tam bhaktam prajapatim idam aha, spoke to his devotee Daksha in this way. Avanatam, who was bowing down to him, prajakamam, and who had a desire to produce progeny. In one verse, lot of details is mentioned. He was definitely a devotee. That's why he was worshipping the Supreme Lord. The word bhaktam is used. And he was bowing down. And prajakamam, certainly he was worshipping in order to fulfill his desire to get to create progeny. So, and the Supreme Lord is addressed as sarvabhutanam chittagyam. He exactly knows the heart of all living beings. So therefore, without even Daksha presenting his desire, the Supreme Lord automatically starts speaking and addressing Daksha here. So, no commentary. Is there a purport?
No purport.
Okay. No purport. So now, in this last section, the Supreme Lord is going to benedict Daksha. So, if there are no further discussions, we will move on to this last section where the Lord is going to give his benedictions to Daksha.
Prabhuji, it is like appearing now in the next verse also and this verse also, like that the Lord is very much happy with Daksha because of her prayers to Lord and he has worshipped him. So like means the question was that even if somebody is practicing with some kind of material motives, still the Lord appears. Like we hear many times when he performs yajna, then the Lord personally appears to him, even though he may be mixed in his devotional service. So if the Lord is fulfilling, like, but for Indra, he may not give the highest destination. Okay, so yes, the Lord may appear to the devotees who are having mixed is it like
correct? Yeah. So he's becoming happy. There is definitely a mention of the Lord becoming happy, but that happiness is like when someone takes a loan and when he repays the loan properly on time, you know, definitely the bank manager is very pleased. But that kind of pleasure is different from when the bank manager goes home and interacts with his children. So when his son comes and brings him one vati of dal that his mother had given, so that pleasure is different, right? Even though both are happy. So in one sense, the one happiness is like happiness due to a business transaction properly executed. But the other pleasure is the pleasure of, experiencing the affection of one's family member. That is a very powerful, that is a different kind of happiness. So the Supreme Lord being pleased is just, the Lord is definitely pleased with someone properly executing the Vedic Dharma also. It is mentioned, Varanashrama Acharavata Purushena Parappuman Vishnur Aradhyate Panta Nanyat Tattoshakaranam. So it is definitely mentioned that by practicing the Varnashram duties properly, one can definitely please Krishna. But that kind of pleasure is not the highest kind of pleasure that the Supreme Lord experiences by having even simple exchanges with his pure devotees. So definitely happiness is there, but it's a different kind of happiness altogether. Is that okay? Hari Bhakti Guru.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay.
I have one question.
Yeah, yes, Chaitanya Chandra.
Yes, bro. This word comes chitta, that heart, and then that manadwar is the way to the mind. So just wanted to know mana and chitta, and this in the subtle body mind comes, but this chitta is not mentioned. Mind. So what is chitta and this difference between chitta and mana?
Actually, in this context, the word chitta indicates mind only. Even though under other contexts, there could be a differentiation between chitta and mind and mana. So many times the word chitta literally is used to indicate the heart, which houses mind, which houses mana, buddhi, ahankar and chitta. So in order to express the antakarana, indicate the antakarana, the word chitta is used, which includes all these four elements. But sometimes when in order to make clearer distinction between these four elements, the word chitta specifically refers to a particular sense through which one can become aware of a familiar stimulus. So when the eyes see a form, and if that form is a very familiar form which one has already seen, then the chitta becomes immediately alert and aware. So that awareness on experiencing a familiar stimulus is that is experienced by the chitta. And then subsequently, buddhi identifies, based on its past experience, buddhi identifies what that stimulus is, the details of that stimulus, and mana it retrieves the emotions connected with that particular stimulus, and ahankar connects those emotions to the self. So in this way, these four antakaranas, chitta, buddhi, mana and ahankar, they work in conjunction, they work together to create material emotions from material sense objects. So when the senses come in touch with sense objects, they are processed by these four antakaranas together to generate a material emotion like that. So chitta is definitely when you are trying to actually understand the difference between chitta and mana, they are functionally different. But many times the word chitta is used to indicate, sometimes mind also is addressed as chitta, sometimes the whole antakarana, the heart, which includes all these four antakaranas, that is also addressed as chitta. So in this context, actually, there is no distinction that is made in that way. Here, chitta and mana indicates the heart only, actually. Is that?
Yeah. So when subtle body, we see mind, intelligence, pulse, ego. So it also includes, subtle body also includes chitta.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Anything else before we move forward? Okay. What is the time?
11:45.
Okay. We still have time. So we are going to start this last section. The Supreme Lord is going to Benedict Daksha. So he says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Prachetasa Mahabhaga Samsiddhas Tapasa Bhavan Yat Shraddaya Matparaya Mayi Bhavam Param Gataha. Prachetasa Mahabhaga, O most fortunate, Samsiddhaha Tapasa Bhavan, yourself, Samsiddhaha, you have become perfect tapasa by your practice of austerities. Mayi bhavam param gatah. How come your practice of austerity have attained perfection? Because you have attained the highest conception of me. Yat shraddaya matparaya. Through faith directed to me, you have attained the highest conception of me. Therefore, you have become perfect by austerities. Like that, he is addressing Daksha here, the Supreme Lord. He says that your austerities have become perfect because you worship me with the right understanding about my nature. Otherwise, if you had thought that I was also a living entity only, but maybe a more elevated living entity, like avajananti mam muda manushim tanum ashritam, then it would have been mogasha moga karmano moga jnana vichetasa. Your austerities would have become fruitless. But because you worship me with the right understanding about my nature, therefore your austerities have become fruitful. Congratulations. Like that the Supreme Lord is addressing Daksha. So, Srila Vishnu Chakradakur says, Param Bhavam means the best conception with the thought. With the thought, that is Paramatma. So, with that understanding, Daksha addressed the Supreme Lord. Which means he did not think he was also an ordinary Atma. He definitely thought or understood the Supreme Lord to be the Paramatma. Paramatma here, I mean, I don't think the word Paramatma is used to indicate that he didn't have an understanding of the Bhagavan conception of the Lord. Here, all it means is that he is not Atma, but he is Paramatma. He is special. He is great. Like that. In that sense, it is addressed. Is that clear?
Yes. So Param Bhavam is given in this verse only, na? My Bhavam Param Gata. That only, na?
Yeah.
So yeah. The Lord is... So the Lord is speaking this, na? Lord.
Yeah. Shri Bhagavan Vacha, na?
So, but Daksha had also understanding of the Bhagavan aspect. That is what we discussed.
Correct. So that's why I'm telling here, the Vishnu Chakradakur using the word Paramatma does not indicate that he had only understanding of the Paramatma feature. What it means here, the word Paramatma indicates that he understood the Supreme Lord to be superior to ordinary jivas. In that sense, he is using the word Paramatma.
Okay.
Like that. Which means he had the proper understanding of the Supreme Lord, rather than a very inferior understanding of the Supreme Lord, like that. Okay, is there a purport?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
The Lord Himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita 8.15, one reaches the highest perfection when he attains the fortune of realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world which is full of miseries because they have attained the highest perfection. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement teaches one to follow the path toward the topmost perfection simply by performing devotional service.
Okay. Pritoham te prajanata yatte syudbhramanam tapah mamesha kamo bhutanam yad bhuyasur vibhutayah. O prajanata, O master of progeny, pritoham te, I am very pleased with you. Yatte tapah, because your austerity, asya bhutanam udbhramanam, for increasing the population, mama esha kamaha, it is also my desire. Because the prajapatis, they act under the guidance of Brahma, and Brahma acts under the desire of the Supreme Lord only. So here, the Supreme Lord, he has appeared and he is making Daksha feel comfortable by telling that, look, you don't have to feel bad that you have called me for fulfilling your material desire. Actually, this desire to increase your population, increase the population, that is the desire that you have, it's also my desire. Like that he's telling. Mama esha kamaha yad bhuyasuhu vibhutayaha, that the increase of living entities take place. I also desire the same. So therefore, your desire is in line. So you don't have to feel bad like that. Philoshna Chagadakur says, austerity for increasing the population of the earth is my desire. Okay, since your austerity for increasing the population of the earth is my desire, your austerity has become successful. What is the nature of your desire? Your desire was, may the population increase. Like that. Any purport?
Yes, sir. After every dissolution of the material cosmos, all the living entities take shelter in the body of Karana Dakshaya Vishnu. And when creation takes place again, they come forth from his body in their various species to resume their activities. Why does the creation take place in such a way that the living entities are put to conditioned life to suffer the threefold miseries imposed upon them by the material nature? Here the Lord says to Daksha, you desire to benefit all living entities, and that is also my desire. The living entities who come in contact with the material world are meant to be corrected. All the living entities within this material world have revolted against the service of the Lord, and therefore they remain within this material world as ever conditioned, Nityabaddha, taking birth again and again. There is a chance, of course, of their being liberated. But nevertheless, the conditioned souls, not taking advantage of this opportunity, continue in a life of sense enjoyment, and thus they are punished by birth and death again and again. This is the law of the nature. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 7.14, Devi Esha Gunamai Mama Ayaduratya Mame Vaye Prapadyante Maya Metantaradite. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 15.7, the Lord says, Mamai Vamsho Jivaloke Jiva Bhutasya Natanaha Manashashkani Indriyani Prakutistani Karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. The living entity's struggle for existence within this material world is due to his rebellious nature. Unless a living entity surrenders to Krishna, he must continue this life of struggle. The Krishna consciousness movement is not a fad. It is a bona fide movement intended to promote the welfare of all conditioned souls by trying to elevate everyone to the platform of Krishna consciousness. If one does not come to this platform, he must continue in material existence perpetually, sometimes in the upper planets and sometimes in the lower planets. As confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 20.118, Kabu Swarge Uthaya, Kabu Narage Dubaya. The conditioned soul sometimes descends into nisayans and sometimes gets some relief by being relatively freed from it. This is the life of the conditioned soul. Prajapati Daksha is trying to benefit the conditioned souls by begetting them to give them a life with chance for liberation. Liberation means surrender to Krishna. If one begets children with the purpose of training them to surrender to Krishna, fatherhood is very good. Similarly, when the spiritual master trains the conditioned souls to become Krishna conscious, his position is successful. If one gives the conditioned souls a chance to become Krishna conscious, all his activities are approved by the Supreme Personality of God, who is extremely pleased at stated here, Pritoham. Following the examples of the previous acharyas, all the members of the Krishna consciousness movement should try to benefit the conditioned souls by inducing them to become Krishna conscious and giving them all facilities to do so. Such activities constitute real welfare work. By such activities, a preacher or anyone who endeavors to spread Krishna consciousness is recognized by the Supreme Personality of God. As the Lord Himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita 18.68-69, Ya idam paramam guhyam mad bhakte shubhida sati bhaktim mai param kritva mam evaishatya samshaya nujdasman manusheshu kashyan me priya kritama bhavita nachme tasmad anya priya daro bhuvi. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he nor will there be one more deer.
Okay. So, even though here Daksha is presenting the desire to increase the population, and Supreme Lord says Pritoham, and Prabhupada says, but that activity which can really please the Supreme Lord is actually to spread the message of pure devotional service. Nachatasman Munishyeshu Kaschin Me Priyakrittama. Like that. So, okay. So, what is the time?
11:56.
Okay, 11:56. So, I think we can complete one more verse. Brahma bhavo bhavantascha manavo vibhudeshvaraha vibhutayo mamahyeta bhutanam bhutihetavaha. So, the Supreme Lord says, Brahma, Bhavaha, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, Bhavantaha and Prajapati is like you, Manavaha and Manus, Vibhuta Ishwaraha and the leaders of the Devatas, Mama Vibhutayaha, they are all my Vibhutis, they are all my expansions. Yeta Bhutanam Bhutihetavaha, they all strive to increase the living entities. So, he is putting the Prajapati, Daksha, also on a very high pedestal. He says, "Arey, you fall within the same category as Brahma, Lord Shiva, and you know all such great personalities, the Manus." So definitely, Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the Manus are like very superior in one sense. So he is putting Daksha also in that same category. So, and you all have the same goal to increase the population, and which is my desire also, as he mentioned in the previous verse, like that. So, he's indicating here that persons doing this work are not low class. Like that, Supreme Lord is giving him, making him feel good, actually, Daksha. Okay, is there a purport?
Yes, Roger. There are various types of incarnations or expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The expansions of His personal self or Vishnu Tattva are called Swamsha expansions, whereas the living entities who are not Vishnu Tattva but Jiva Tattva are called Vibhinnamsha, separated expansions. Although Prajapati Daksha is not on the same level as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, he is compared to them because he engages in the service of the Lord. In the service of the personality of Godhead, it is not that Lord Brahma is considered very great, while an ordinary human being trying to preach the glories of the Lord is considered very low. There are no such distinctions. Regardless of whether materially high or materially low, anyone engaged in the service of the Lord is spiritually very dear to him. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya gives this quotation from the Tantra Niranaya. Vishesha Vyakti Patratvad Brahma Dayastu Viputaya Tad Antaryaminashchaiva Matsyadya Vibhava Smita. From Lord Brahma down, all living entities engaged in the service of the Lord are extraordinary and are called Vibhuti. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 10:41, Yad Yad Vibhuti Matsatvam Srimad Urjitam Evava Tatta Deva Vagachatvam Mama Tejam Bhavam. Know that all beautiful, glorious and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. A living entity especially empowered to act on behalf of the Lord is called Vibhuti, whereas the Vishnu Tattva incarnations of the Lord, such as the Matsya Avatara, are called Vibhava.
Yeah. Okay. Any final comments before we end today's discussion?
So Vibhutis are only Prabhuji empowered per persons, no? Or any
like the word Vibhuti also is used in more specific context, but in more generic context also. So when in 10th canto, in 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna talks about vibhutis, within that he adds Vamanadev, you know, and other such incarnations also. But they are not exactly in that sense vibhuti. That's used in a more generic sense, the sense as being expansions. But the word vibhuti used in a more specific sense in the context of explaining the avataras, there the word vibhuti means just like Shaktiyavesha avataras are there. Shaktiyavesha avatar, they are. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Yeah. So just like Shaktiyavesha avataras are empowered, but they are empowered with more more powers. But vibhutis are like manus, they fall within the category of vibhutis. They are empowered with less powers. So that way, in the context of description of avataras, the word vibhuti is used in a more specific sense. Whereas in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the same word vibhuti is used in a more generic sense. So here also in this verse also, the word vibhuti is used in a little more generic sense. Otherwise, because Lord Shiva and Brahma would fall within the category of gunavataras. So, and Manus only would fall within the category of vibhutis. And probably the Prajapatis also fall within the category of vibhutis. But here the word vibhuti is used in a more generic sense, in the having the meaning as expansions and not literally, you know, vibhutis as being inferior to the Shaktiyavesha avatara. Is that okay? Okay. So, if there are no further discussions, we will end today's discussion here. So, thank you for your patient listening. So, tomorrow is Friday. Hopefully, we will try to complete this chapter tomorrow. I don't know. I have to check, you know, how the for the rest of the 9 verses, how big the purports are. Can you quickly check and tell me how long are the purports? Do you have very long purports?
46 is little big. 47 is again 2 pages.
Uh-huh.
48 is small. 49 is small. Then one again, 52 is little big. Uh-huh. That's it. We'll be able to complete.
Okay. And hopefully they are not very technical. I don't think they are very technical verses. So, So tomorrow, even if it may take little longer, let's try to complete the chapter so that from next Monday onwards, we can start the next chapter, if that is okay with everyone.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So thank you very much. We will meet again on tomorrow, of course. We are meeting tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhye vacha paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo. Hare Krishna.